Look with me in the book of Jude, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, remember he's not just a servant, he's the brother, earthly brother of Jesus Christ. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, let me be clear, they shared a mother but not a father. Jesus was fathered by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary. She conceived and bore a son, Jesus, whose father was God. And Joseph, the Bible, there's no indication other than that Joseph and Mary, primarily Joseph, decided on his own that although they were legally united in what we would call today a marriage relationship, that he would not have physical relations with her until after the baby was born and she had been through the Jewish purifying process that is described in the book of Leviticus. Joseph took that on himself. There's no indication in Scripture that God told him he had to do that. What he was doing was predict. So when they hurled accusations at Mary and Jesus, when Jesus was an adult and said, "We be not born of fornication," Mary knew and Jesus knew the truth. So I want to be clear. With the wide age group we have here, there may be somebody who a month ago didn't understand what I said, earthly father, heavenly father, and now that means more to you than it did then. So I always want to stop and clarify some of those things. Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. I preached verse 1, did that calling. I attributed that biblically to the Holy Ghost. So what you have in verse number 1 is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The many, many, many times in the Scripture, you'll see all three of them together. Okay? Because they are three in one. Verse number 2. Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. There is another 3-point outline right there. Okay? And I'm glad he said multiplied and not added. He adds things, but boy, I love it when he multiplies. You get more for your buck when he multiplies. Verse number 3, beloved, don't miss that word, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Verse 20, but ye, say the next word again, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'll stop there. He bookends the book of Jude. He puts bookends at either end. Verses 1 through 3 is the bookend here. Verses 20 through 25 are the bookends over here. So verses 3 through 19 are the burden on his heart of who he needs to warn them of, and it's the false teachers in their day, and that was 2,000 years ago. So don't get all worked up when you hear about the latest false teacher. They've been around ever since there's been truth. Abel believed truth. Cain embraced error. I heard a preacher the other day, he had studied out the genealogies, how long Adam lived and all of this, and all I can tell you is, another area is he's a reliable man, and I can take this at face value until I'm able to state it on my own, but I want to make this point. He said that when I read that Abel's offering, the blood sacrifice, and Cain's offering, the work of his hands, when I read that, Brother Rudy, my mind says, okay, this was the first year that they were of age and could offer their own sacrifice. Up until then, Adam had done it for them. That's what my mind tells me. This preacher had studied out the genealogies, the years and the ages and all that. And he said, it's clear in Scripture. And again, I'm quoting someone else. He said, Abel had offered an offering. You get to be Cain today. Cain had offered an offering. They had offered what God commanded for years. and that Cain made a conscious decision to quit trusting in the righteousness of another and made a conscious decision to embrace error, the works of his hands. There may be somebody in the room today that heard Miss Ann's request and said, maybe all religions lead to heaven. You know, I've seen some pictures of Tibetan monks and Buddhists and they're very serious about what they do. They're very, here's our word around, sincere, right? You can be sincerely wrong. I mean, history is full of stories of people who gave what they thought was a medicine to someone because their eyesight was poor and they couldn't read the label, and what they gave them, Christian, was poison. Were they sincere? Yes. Sincerely wrong. Now, I see Cain's situation as not sincere, as open rebellion. Okay, but I appreciate that request so much. And all roads don't lead to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what you will find in the religions of this world, every one of them have a works component. Some of them, it's 99% faith and 1% works, but it still works. Your Bible is, what did we sing? What was the opening song today? Living by? The just shall live by faith. Your eternal destiny is determined by where you put your faith, not how hard you work. You follow me? So he writes this book warning them about false teachers, and we're going to look at them. You're wondering, are we ever going to get there? We've got the bookend at the beginning. We've got the bookend at the end. That's why I left verse 3 and jumped to verse 20. And I love the way that he starts. He says, but ye beloved. So last week we looked at building, and I won't re-preach the message. Today, we're looking at part B, praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm probably going to get 1 point of a 5-point message. But that's fine, as long as I can give you something to take home with you. When we in Western North Carolina, upstate South Carolina, East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, and Northeast Georgia, when we hear the phrase, praying in the Holy Ghost, we get a mental visual image, right, of a man in the glory. A prayer meeting on the mountain. Prayer meetings on the mountain are a good thing. Where when you park your car and start walking up the hill, you hear them and it sounds like a pack of coon dogs who's treed a coon. Now let me go on record and write it down. I like prayer meetings where you can hear them a mile off and it sounds like a pack of coon dogs. I've heard things a mile off that weren't praying in the Holy Ghost. And I've seen little broken-hearted mothers and fathers. This is not a male-female thing. I've seen broken-hearted men and women at the altar not saying a word. And like Hannah, that was preached about so powerfully last week, moving her lips. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So I like the prayer meeting. And I like somebody who gets in a big way and we would say gets plugged in. And buddy, Dad used to say praying a hole in the sky. I love that and that is wonderful. That may well be praying in the Holy Ghost. You and I have both seen somebody who did that for a fair show in the flesh. I got to tell you this story. You'll love it. We were at an open-air meeting in West Virginia. Dad had a heavy burden for his hometown. No prophet is without honor, save in his own country. You better pray for God to send somebody else to your hometown. And he went back home, he and his brother, they rented a barn, and we cleaned it out, set up chairs, brought in a piano, and had a meeting. And boy, they loved, this was 50 years ago, they loved that kind of thing in those hills and hollers of West Virginia. And everybody had come, Methodist, Pentecostal Church of God, Free Will Baptist, Independent Baptist, Southern Baptist, American Baptist, Brazilian Baptist, they just all came. Everybody came. We was one big happy family. It looked like the United Nations. And we'd have altar prayer. We'd have altar prayer. And the first night, just as the prayer started to subside, one guy got cranked up. And he prayed about 20 to 30 minutes. Because he wanted to be seen. And, kind of had to restart the service after that. He thought he was real spiritual. You know anybody who thinks they're spiritual? They're nauseating. And he did it on night number two. Well, most of you know Dad well enough. He said, "We're done with this mess." And he said, "Tomorrow night we're all going to pray at the same time." And he said, when we start winding down and he starts winding up, we start in the song service. He said, "It ain't time to catch up on your prayer life at the meeting." So they wasn't short prayers. They went 10, 12, 15 minutes, and it, the volume went down. And boy, here he went. And he was telling the Lord he remembered when he led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. No, he didn't remember that. He wasn't there. He's telling the Lord all the miracles he had ever done. You know, I was a little snotty-nosed, smart-aleck kid. I'm thinking, the Lord already knows all that. You know, I don't know why you're telling him. But Dad looked at the pianist and said, "Start." And she said, "He's still praying." Dad said, "Start." She said, "He's still praying." I said, "It's time to start the service." Y'all, the nuclear bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima was less destructive. Because everybody that was there, all those United Nations that I told you about, they thought if somebody was in the Holy Ghost, you just sat back and let them go. The Bible says, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." Y'all with me? If you're in the Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled people are going to bear witness with that. You ever been in a service where somebody thought they had the word for the day and they were the only one who had the word for the day? All the rest of us knew they were off in left field. Y'all with me? Okay, so I'm laying a foundation. I like it. I like tree and a coon and all that good stuff. But let me tell you something. Don't automatically associate that with praying in the Holy Ghost. So let's look at what the Bible says about praying in the Holy Ghost. Go to Romans chapter 8. And I've preached from here not too long ago. Some of it will overlap, but I'm taking a slightly different angle because we've got to understand it in light of what we're looking at in Jude. Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. "Likewise, the Spirit," see the capital S there? That's the Holy Spirit. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Now listen to me carefully. It would be real easy to pull that out of its context and apply that to physical infirmities. Did Jesus die for our sins and our sicknesses according to Isaiah 53? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. That doesn't make you a faith healer or anything like that. It just means everything we lost in the fall, in Genesis chapter 3, everything we lost in the fall, Jesus took care of it at Calvary. You need to get a hold of that. That'll keep you away from a whole lot of false teaching in our world today. Somebody will say, "Jesus doesn't want you to be sick." Jesus also doesn't want you to go to hell, but there are people who are going to hell. Romans chapter 8 tells me the creation technically set free at Calvary when Jesus paid it all. Right? Set free. Pardon was signed. What are we waiting on? The jailer to come down and unlock the door and set us free. Brother Raines, "I don't know about that." Yes, read Romans chapter 8. I don't have time to read the whole chapter today. Brother David, you know what God describes as our earthly condition right here, right now, mentally, physically, spiritually? You know how He describes it? Bondage. There are people in this room, under the sound of my voice, by their own admission and by Spirit-filled people's observation, Don, they are growing in grace. And the more they grow, the more they realize they're in bondage. Stuff that didn't bother them a year ago bothers them. But you start pressing in. It's what the old timers around here say. You start pressing in. You start getting in the Word. You start getting in on your knees. That's a figure of speech. You don't have to be on your knees to pray. But you start getting a prayer life. You start growing in grace. The flesh likes it when I don't care about the things of God. But that inner man is grieved. And then when I start feeding that new man and I start growing in grace, that flesh acts like an 18-month-old. We was driving home yesterday. Everybody knows Raylan, okay, grandbaby number 6. Everybody in here knows she's an angel. If you don't know it, we'll tell you. She's just got an unusual disposition. We was driving home and Chris said, "Have you seen Raylan pitch just the smallest of fits?" I said, "Yes, I have." She said, "Oh, it breaks my heart." Auntie, she is amazing for 12 months, wasn't she? And now she's acting like her daddy. You may have a naturally good disposition. Welcome. We need more of your kind. Because some natural dispositions stink. No matter how good your natural disposition, there is an old nature living inside of you, wicked as the charred walls of hell. That sweetest person you know has a sin nature. So we've got this part of us that's wanting to do right, if you're born again, and it's wanting to live right, and then you've got that flesh, and there's that battle that is going on, which leads us here to verse number 26. This is the only point I'm preaching this morning. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He describes the infirmities. He describes the infirmities. Here's the infirmity. It's not, look at me, it's not cold and flu season. When I get a cold, do I pray and ask the Lord to let it be short-lived? Yes. When it is, do I thank Him? Yes. When it drags on and you're coughing 6 weeks later, I say, "Lord, give me the grace to get through this." We know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's the infirmity He's talking about. You ever been there? Have you ever faced anything you weren't? "Lord, I don't even know how to pray. Miss Ann, I know what we'd love to see happen." Here's the word for today, process, right? How do you process that? How do you walk away from simple, Bible, lived out truth to that? Look at it. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. If that's you, would you say amen? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's all I'm preaching today, church. What kind of intercessions? It's not about problem number 10. It's about problem number 1 that you walked in here with and don't know how to pray for as you ought. The Holy Ghost is before the Father making intercession to you. Now, He'll add 2 through 10. But whatever is heaviest on you, whatever made you want to stay at home and not interact with anybody. I'm going to stay there. Because we hear that and we're like, "Oh, there. I'll bet I'm the only one in here today with..." No, you'd be shocked. Years ago in Christian education, I was teaching Bible. I don't remember the lesson. A young lady got up and ran out of the room sobbing. And I sent one of the ladies to get her calmed down. When it was appropriate later that day, we sat down together. And she said, "I'm not like those other kids." She said, "If they knew my family situation and if they knew where my dad is and where my mom is and what I'm living in," she said, they wouldn't even be as kind to me. "I'm not like those other kids." This was a high school teenage class. I said, "You're wrong." I didn't violate anybody's confidence, but I said, "The girl in front of you, Her grandmother's raising her. She went, "To what?" I said, "The girl behind you, her daddy's in prison." I said, "The girl to your right, the boy to your left." And I told her all that. The devil is the one, when we get up in the morning, when we get out of the car, says, "You don't belong. You don't fit, or your loads, you're in worse shape than they are." That is the voice of the enemy. And I am here to tell you, every one of us walked in here with something that without God's help, it would have crippled us. We'd have caved under it. How do you get up in the morning and get ready and go to church with that on your heart and on your mind? I can tell you question number one going through your mind, where did I fail? I failed to get something in her heart as she's gone there. Let me tell you something. And then the list goes on and on and on. But the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit." So we're not talking about the Holy Spirit now, the one, right? "He that knoweth the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit." So let's keep reading. "Because he," that's the same he at the beginning of the verse, "maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of," say it. There's an unidentified party here. Do you want to know who it is? Jesus. The Spirit's making intercession for me. And it's according to the will of God. But somebody else entered the scene. Right here, Brother Fred. It's Jesus. Amen. Hebrews, "He ever liveth to make intercession for us." Jesus, because of His atoning death on the cross, is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. Brother Rains, explain interceding. I love the Gazaways and I love the way they've raised these boys. But let's assume for a moment that baby boy is the golden child. The brothers would probably say that's not an assumption. No brothers like the baby. Okay? We love you. Let's assume he's the golden child. Michael, would that be true? Okay. And they really wanted Wednesday night when warm weather comes back, they really want to go to cookout and get shakes. And Jake says, "I got on Dad's nerves yesterday. I can't ask." And Micah goes, "Me and Mom still wrestling about Algebra 2. I can't ask." And Alec goes, "I ain't never done nothing right. I can't ask." And all three of them look at him and go, "You ax." Did you say been there, done that? I knew I was in the right row. "Mommy, can I get a peach shake?" "Why, of course, baby." And they all know he ain't the only one getting a shake. Somebody ought to be waving a hanky right about now. Here's interceding. First of all, I don't know what to ask for. But if I did, I'm a mess. Jesus, would you ask for me? You're saved because Jesus interceded for you. You shouldn't be in heaven. You're going because of Jesus. Our brother, that's in the Bible. So, point number one, the persons of prayer. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Ghost. He has to answer your prayers when you do it His way. He says you have not because you ask not. He also says you ask and you have not because you ask amiss, that you can consume it on your own lust. That's where you're going with a very selfish motive. You knew when you went with that when it was wrong. Right? But when we do it God's way, He is bound to answer. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for you.